prior to Father's Day last week, we had been studying from the 66th Psalm. And I want to ask you to go back there with me once again today to another portion of that psalm. We're going to read verses 8 and 9, but we're going to look at a larger portion of verses that follow those as well. You know, sometimes in our lives, things just don't work like we expect them to. You ever had that happen? Perhaps you felt a little bit like I did, that things were beginning to return a little more to normal, and maybe we were getting past some of that stay-at-home stuff, and maybe the shadow of that virus was going to be behind us. We got to go have youth camp, and that was the first summer activity among all of our churches that had been able to go as it was normally planned, and everything seemed to be back on a more even keel, and then I got home. No, it wasn't Linda that was the problem. It was what she told me. Found out that, and didn't know until after I was on the way home last night, found out that our daughter and our son-in-law had been tested for the virus. Got up yesterday morning and boom, found out they had been proven to be positive, and they were having quite a struggle. And I'm going to tell you, that was a little bit of a letdown. Not that I was disappointed, it let the air out of my balloon real quickly. Sometimes things don't go the way we expect them, and we tend to think they ought to have gone the way that we expected them, rather than saying, okay, God, they're going the way you wanted them to, now help me understand. I want to ask you to read with me Psalm 66, verses 8 and 9. There's a call in this portion of the word of the psalm. Notice the first words of verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Oh, bless our God, ye people. He is the one who holds our soul in life. He doesn't hold life in front of us as a carrot and dangle it out there and say that you can have it if you accomplish this or if you do that or if you meet this standard. What he does is he says that you have an inheritance in life as you have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and he holds you in life. And he will not suffer your feet to be moved. He will not allow you to be twisted. He will not allow you to be moved from where you are. When you stop to think about that, that's a pretty good reason to bless the Lord. But now let me ask you today, what does that word bless mean? It comes from a word which means literally to kneel, to bow in worship. Oh, bless our God. Oh, bow down before him in worship. A lot of people use that term kneel today. You ought to kneel for this reason or kneel for that reason or kneel for this or that or the other. I'm going to tell you there's one reason that we ought to kneel all the time. I saw a statement that somebody made today, and you can question the statement if you wish, and that's not the reason of me mentioning it. It just said that America, that this coronavirus had brought America to its knees. Well, if it's on its knees, it ought to be kneeling in prayer while it's there. You see, when the psalmist calls us to bless the Lord, what he does is call us to humble ourselves before Him in recognition of who He is. Because He is the Lord that holds us in life. He holds us in death. He holds us in the hope of eternity. He holds us securely in His hands. He won't suffer our feet. We have an adversary who would try to move us. As a matter of fact, one of the things that God gives us is a suit of armor, or a set of armor and a set of equipment that enables us to withstand. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks to us about putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the devices of Satan. But what he says later on is that we might be able to withstand. The difference in those two is we can stand up too. But the fact of the matter is, Satan's going to charge from a lot of different directions. He has a lot of different devices. It's not just that we can stand up. It is that we can withstand Him when He hits us. You ever thought about that? It is that we're given the provision, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, as it were, the feet in the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, the ability to pray. We're given all of those things. But we're given those things to use to withstand the fact that Satan, our adversary, is going to come after us. It ought not be a surprise to us when it occurs. God hadn't left us unprepared. He's given us what we need. But more than that, He's given us this assurance. He will not allow our feet to be moved. Feet that are shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace, the security of Jesus Christ. David spoke of it on one occasion in the Psalms when he said that the Lord had lifted him out of the miry pit and had established his feet upon the solid rock. Well, why would God not allow our feet to be moved? Our feet are not established in slippery clay. Our feet are not established upon shifting sand. Our feet are established upon the rock of Jesus Christ. God who holds us, God who has established us, we certainly have reason to bow down before Him. He picked us up. He put us in place. He holds us there. Yeah, we have a work we are to do. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Why were they ordained beforehand? Because He put us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That was His plan. That was our place. And He prepared for us a work to do. And while we're doing the work that we ought to do, He will not suffer our feet to be moved from His possession. We might stumble. We might find ourselves unsure. But He never lets our feet get taken off of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this morning, folks, that's a comforting thing to me.
even when I can't see how to walk, my feet stand up on Christ. Even when I don't see what's ahead, my feet stand up on Jesus Christ. Even when I feel my weakest, my feet stand upon Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. For thou, O God, this is in verse 10. I'll begin reading in verse 9. He holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, listen to what he says. Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. God has proved us. How did he prove us? As silver is tried in a fire. God proved. He didn't make us prove ourselves. He proved us to be silver and the value of silver, because he put us in a fire to remove the imperfections, to leave what was left is that which has been washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. But now think about that a minute. Well, he talks about the things that had happened. Thou brought us into the net. Thou laid affliction upon our loins. We got stripes across our back. We had men who rode over our head. This wasn't an easy journey that they faced. But what was he doing? In the Psalms, it also says that in my affliction, early will I seek thy face. You see, God was proving our relationship with him. Not making us prove it, but proving that his value of us was such that he wasn't going to leave us to corruption. He wasn't going to leave us to compromise. He wasn't going to leave us to stain. He was cleaning us as a silversmith. But now think about this for a minute, folks. Who put us in the fire? Who put Daniel in the fire? He put Daniel in the lion's den. Who put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire? More than that, who was in the fire with them? You see, God puts us in the path where we walk. He puts us in the affliction that we face in order that he prove his relationship to us through those afflictions, not by avoiding those afflictions. Those afflictions are to cleanse our life. Never forget that his hand is on the pan that's got you in the fire. You don't have to jump out of the frying pan to get in the fire. We feel like we do that sometimes in the mistakes that we make. But in the afflictions that are to draw us back to God, he puts us in there. He puts the fire just hot enough to do what he wants it to do. And he knows exactly how long we're going to have to stay there and exactly what's got to be removed from our lives. Fire doesn't rage rampantly. Fire, that is the fire of affliction for the silver, is a fire that's raised to precisely the right heat to accomplish what God wants it to do. God holds us in our... He holds us in the fire. He doesn't just toss us in the fire. Now, well, I'll see what's left when the fire goes out. He holds us in the fire. When those things come in our life unexpectedly, when those messages come that say, oh, this bad thing is happening, oh, this has happened, oh, this sorrow has come, this is wrong with the circumstance, we look at the world and we say, oh, the world's coming apart. Well, from a world's perspective, it may be. But God's got us in the affliction with men over our head. Exactly to prove our relationship with Him, not to prove the men. He will prove us. He tries us as silver. He brought them out into a wealthy place. Listen to what He says in verse 13. Well, the end of verse 12. He broughtest us out into a wealthy place. That was the last part of verse 12. The Lord brought us out of the fire. And when He brought us out, He didn't bring us to ashes. He brought us to a well-prepared place. He brought Israel through the Red Sea. He brought them through the wilderness. But you know where they wound up? They wound up in a land that flowed with milk and honey. When He brings us out of the fire, He prepares us for a relationship with Him. He who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, He who has everything to provide for us, and He who needs nothing Himself. And when He brings us through the fire, He brings us to a place that He has prepared and set before us. Oh, He's going to take me to heaven. He will do that. And what a beautiful place that will be. But you see, when we come out of the fires of affliction in this life, we come to a place He's prepared for us at that time. We don't just drop out and land in some place and then not know where we are. When He brings us through the fire, He brings us to a place He's prepared for us. And when He brings it, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. How many of us have made a promise to God when we're in trouble? Lord, you just get me through this mess, and I'll do this, that, and the other. God doesn't bargain like that. We try to bargain with Him. And then say, oh, well, I really didn't mean it. You make a vow to God, you better mean it. It's better not to vow than it is to vow and not pay. That's what Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes. But you see, the real thing is, we make a vow to God when He calls us. And when we recognize His grace in our life, we make a vow to God that says, I will follow You, Lord. I will serve You, Lord. I will bless Your name, Lord. Those are the vows we must keep. A commitment of our mouth that says, Lord, I'm going to be baptized and I'm going to serve You. Lord, I'm a believer in You. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm going to be Your child. I'm going to be Your servant. I'm going to be Your lamb that follows You as You're my shepherd. When we make those commitments, those are the commitments of our vows that when God brings us through the fire, we're still to be following Him. I'm going to Your house. Well, I can't go to church all the time. You can go to the presence of the Lord. You better go to the Lord's house when you have the opportunity. Forsake not the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some is. The fact that some people don't do it today, not anything new, they didn't do it then either. But what somebody else does is not an excuse for us. When the Lord says that we're to go to His house, we're to keep our vows which our lips have offered. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings, which is the incense of ram. I will offer bullocks and goats. We're not asked to offer bullocks and goats. What are you asked to offer? Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 12, that he encouraged, he exhorted that they would give themselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We sang this song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, not stone and brick and mortar, but a living sanctuary unto the Lord. I'm going to pay my vows. And then he says in verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what he hath done for my soul. For my soul. If you have a fear of God, if you have a reverence of God, come let me tell you what he did for me. Come let me tell you how he brought me through the fire of affliction. Come let me tell you how his hand held me when I grew weak. Come let me tell you what he did in my life. The world doesn't care. But I'm going to tell you that there are those who understand God's place and they need the encouragement. Let me ask you to notice the reason that that's so important. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It's in the handout that's in, I know I put it in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. Oh, he won't let my feet be moved. He holds my soul in life. He watches over me in the fire. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. There's another phrase. There's another word. He comforts me and comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, folks, when that affliction comes in our life, when that time of testing comes in our life, when that time of being proven comes in our life, and God carries us through that and brings us out into that open place that he's prepared for us. What he said is, now what you've learned, you be ready to tell somebody else, because there's going to be another little lamb. There's going to be another saint that's walking down that same path, and they're going to have those same types of moments. And with what God has blessed you to have, you be ready to encourage someone else. Oh, coronavirus is going to give us a lot of opportunity for that, isn't it? To learn that we have to handle things differently. We have to make changes. Things that we count as being real steady and real settled, all of a sudden they're not settled. What is settled? God is settled. And your relationship with him is settled in heaven. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life that was sealed before the foundation. Oh, you better get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Bible tells us that that Book of Life was sealed from before the foundation of the world, because every one of the Lamb's people were put in it before the foundation of the world. And it was sealed, and none could be taken. None would be lost. All would be led into that wealthy place. But now along the way, when God works in our life, we have the opportunity to be a conduit to pass that on. Saw a sign the other day that said, be a conduit, not a container. I'm afraid there are times, folks, we want to be the containers. Oh yeah, God gave me this, and we'll fold it up, put it in our pocket, rather than being a conduit ready to pass it on to someone else. You see, we're to comfort other people with the comfort that God's given us. When the psalmist said, oh, bless our God, all ye that fear the Lord,
Let the voice of His praise be lifted up. Our voice
ought to be lifted up. Our voice ought to sound forth to those who are struggling around us to tell them how God helped us. Not to say, well, if y'all are good as I am, God would help you. No, no, no. I am the poor sinner that He helped. And you can rest assured that He does the same in the life of all of His people. Now, I would ask you today, folks, how many of us consciously and cognizantly, mentally, spiritually, and even physically, as we have opportunity, kneel before the Lord? How many of us put Him in that place where we bow before Him because He's worthy of our praise? Oh, bless our God, all ye that fear the Lord. Our effort ought to be in raising His name. Our effort ought to be in sharing His consolation. Our effort ought to be in declaring that He is the God who brings us into a wealthy place. May the Lord help us to bless His name. When those things suddenly change, rather than seeing it as an impassable roadblock, may we see it as a trial of silver through which He's changing our life, and through which He's going to take us to a better circumstance in our relation with Him. May we comfort others in the same way. May God help is my prayer, for Christ's sake.